to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the Kingdom of God.
Did you know that the commands of God's Word have different weights? They're weighted differently. Some are more weighty, more important. Others are less weighty. In Matthew 23, Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees and scribes for following the less important matters of the law while neglecting what Jesus called the weightier matters of the law. And one of the weightiest of all is mercy. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Giving your tithes is good. You should have done that. That's important. But that's less important than justice, mercy, and faithfulness. There are some matters of the law that are supremely important, and mercy is one of them. And that's not really any big surprise given the emphasis God has placed in Scripture on His mercy. It's hard to overstate the importance of God's, that God places on His own mercy. When Moses asked God to show him, he says, "Show me your glory. Let me see what you're really like." God passed in front of him. Exodus 34:6 says He passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." That's the glory of God. He said, "Let me see your glory." That's what he saw. The Lord, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. And that description of God dominates the Old Testament. It's the description of God's nature throughout the Old Testament. You just see it again and again and again. Psalm 103:8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love." Psalm 86:15, "But you, O Lord, are a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love." They just remembered that. Ever since God said that to Moses, the people of God just couldn't get that out of their mind. Nehemiah 9:17, "You are a forgiving God, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in love." Joel 2:13, "Return to the Lord your God, for He's gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in love." Nehemiah 9:31, "But in your great mercy you did not put an end to them, for you are gracious and merciful God." Psalm 145:8, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and rich in love." 2 Chronicles 39, "The Lord your God is gracious and merciful." Psalm 111:4, "The Lord is gracious and merciful." Deuteronomy 4:31, "The Lord your God is a merciful God." Psalm 116:5, "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of mercy." And that's the tip of the iceberg. You go on and on and on. We could go all day with that. We know God is holy. We know God is just. He is a wrathful God. And so why didn't He give Moses a little balance? I mean, a little more balanced view of Himself. When Moses said, "Let me see your glory," why not some more of that part of Him? Does God set His holiness and His justice aside in order to show love? Never. No, never. He does not do that. His justice must always be satisfied. However, He has made a provision for His justice to be satisfied, and therefore delights in setting forth His mercy at the forefront of the revelation of His glory. It's right there at the front. It supersedes everything else. That fact about God, the fact that God is more likely to show mercy than to pour out wrath, was so predictable that it actually became a huge irritation to people who were unmerciful. You know, God's mercy is a real thorn in the side of the unmerciful. It's what really irritated Jonah, the Old Testament's most unmerciful prophet. When the enemies of Israel repented and God had mercy on them in Nineveh, Jonah's like, "I knew it! It's exactly what I thought I was going to..." Jonah 4:2, he prayed to the Lord, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in love. You're just always doing that. I knew this was going to happen. That's why I didn't want to preach to these people. You tell me to go to Nineveh, these wicked, evil Ninevites. I knew it was going to happen. I'm going to go. I'm going to preach. You guys are about to be wiped out. God's going to pour out His wrath on you. They're going to have some little show of repentance, and then you're just going to, mercy, 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 mercy. Same old thing all the time. Just drives unmerciful people crazy. Mercy is the clearest portrait of God in the Old Testament. And so, it's really no surprise at all when you get to the New Testament and God puts on human flesh, and Christmas arrives, and here's the Lord Himself as a man, and His whole life is nothing but one giant, constant, continual stream of mercy. Right? Two blind men in Matthew 9 call out to Him, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Okay, and He gives them sight. Canaanite woman with a demonized daughter in Matthew 15, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Okay, and cast out the demon. The guy whose son is having seizures and suffering greatly in Matthew 17, "Lord, have mercy on my son." Okay, heals the son. Canaanite woman, again, the blind men, Matthew 20, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." You keep hearing that phrase again and again. They keep asking, "Have mercy on me, have mercy on me," and each time He heals them. There are a million different ways that Jesus could have displayed His divine power, could have proved that He was Almighty God with all kinds of power, works of power, but mostly His miracles were acts of what? Mercy. Because He wanted to show us not only the power of God, but also the heart of God. Matthew 9:36, when Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He had mercy. He just had compassion, and it moved Him to acts of mercy. Now, did Jesus show wrath over sin? Did He speak of judgment? Did He ever speak of hell? Yeah, He did. Jesus talked more about hell than any other person in the whole Bible. But still, the greater emphasis was on mercy. John 3:17, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. So God's mercy and love are supremely important, and that's the primary way He acts towards us. He does not strike a balance between wrath and mercy. He satisfies His own wrath on the cross so He can freely pour out the riches of His mercy on those who believe. And then He calls it one of the weightier matters of the law. So, it's no light matter. All that to say, it's no light matter what we're doing here this morning. We've been studying verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount. We've come this morning to Matthew 5:7, the fifth beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.